This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.
Hello, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, dammi e pani, it's Postcard from Poprad, your weekly sideways look at the news with a different producer this week. That will only make some kind of relevance if you were here last week. My name's Eric Wiltshire. I'm sitting at the bottom of the Tatras Mountains in sunny Slovakia, and it is... We got all the windows open today, blue skies, and it's going to rain at the weekend. Marvellous. Across the stagnant pond known as the North Sea, it is none other than the very fresh this morning, because apparently he's been up a long time, well, for him. It is none other than the beautiful Lee Banks.
Good morning, everybody. I am here, I'm awake, and I'm charming, and I'm witty, and I'm knackered, and I want to go back to bed.
We've got a story for you in a minute, mate. Lee Banks, he's like the opposite of what's the Dracula characters called, that come out at night?
Dracula.
No, not Dracula.
The Dracula characters called vampires. You mean I'm a vampire?
Well, because, you see, they normally go to bed at the time when it's all dark and stuff. So I'm just thinking you're a reverse vampire because you don't like the light. You don't like the light.
No, no, it makes me alcohol go off colour. No, I do. I do tend to live a nocturnal life.
It's nice. I used to love it. Honest, yeah.
Fabulous.
I mean, I was just imagining all those people years ago when I used to work in the middle of the night in London on the radio, and they would... In the daytime, people would be struggling and fighting to work. They'd be all stressed out. It'd take them about 3 hours to get to work. I would go in at my usual time, about 11, you know, well planned before I got there, obviously. And I'd take about 45 minutes to get to the studio, which took everybody else hours. Get home, I'd be coming out, all the traffic would be going in, and it was wonderful. Never mind.
I love it. It's also, you know what?
What?
It's because nobody phones you at 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning.
They don't.
I can actually work without people interfering.
Well,
Jim Steinman of Meatloaf fame is exactly the same. Me and Jim sit up here at night creating and composing and being whatever we are, actually.
Yeah, well, I have to clarify that a bit because we did have lots of callers at that time of the morning because it was a talk station. It would have been a bit stupid.
I'm not a talk station.
It would have been a bit naff if we'd have had no phone calls, wouldn't it? Anyway, let's get on. We are famed for sort of looking at the news slightly differently and arguing a lot. Now, I mean, I do like Lee, and I love him to bits, and he's a good mate. But he does sometimes go off on a bit of a rant.
That's not fair, really. What it is, I consider, right, opinions are like orgasms, right?
Uh-huh.
Mine are very important, yours don't matter.
Oh, thank you very much indeed. Anyway, this is one especially for Banksy boys, because we've been having this big ongoing rant about the internet. And apparently, the Times and the Sunday Times newspapers in the UK will start charging for access to their websites in June, says News International, because that's the owners of them. Now, apparently, users will pay £1 a day for access or £2 for a subscription for the entire week, which means nobody's going to read the Times and the Sunday Times online after that date. And there's a load of old waffle from the different bodies, and they reckon this is just a start, apparently. The Times and the Sunday Times are I can't talk this week, I've got Lee's problem, four of the titles in the UK, which will be moving that way, which tends to suggest to me it'll be more News International things, and nobody will bother to read them online anymore, because there's no point. But Lee seems to have a different view of that, don't you?
Well, will you stop? I've got a stutter. You don't take a mickey out of a man with a stutter.
Gosh, you've gone all loud.
Have I? Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Well, you did. You went into rant mode. I know you did.
I did. I'm so sorry. I'm using my country music voice at the moment, the sort of light twangy voice. So
no.
I hope that's all right for you.
No,
I can use my shouter voice, which is like.
No, don't.
No,
don't.
Okay.
No, don't.
Okay. Ballad voice. Would you like me to use my ballad voice?
No.
Okay.
No.
I'll continue using my country twang voice then.
What are we talking about? Do you have to?
I'm twanging. Will you leave me alone while I have a twang?
Well, I've got. Oh, sorry. I don't know what that was.
Was that a twang? Are we twanging together?
I think so. It reminds me of that television program.
What?
Bungle.
Bungle? Oh, Bungle. I hated Bungle. I really despise Bungle. If I could have killed Bungle, I'd have murdered Bungle.
Is your twanger a big twanger? No, Bungle. Yes, Jimmy.
I'd do to Bungle?
What?
I'd kill him by buckwheats.
All right. You haven't seen the videos on YouTube then, have you?
What, a Bungle?
What was the thing called? Rainbow, wasn't it? That's it. The series
Rainbow,
was...
Yeah.
Look, I'm not going to say any more, boys and girls, but do look on Facebook for a TV show that was shown in the UK. It's called Rainbow. And people,
what was that other big gobbed idiot called?
George.
No, the other... Oh, George, mate. Oh, George was just a clumsy...
But let's put it this way. They did some alternative comedy styles to the programme, which is very, very funny if you're an adult.
It's not very funny if you're an adult, ladies and gentlemen. It's perverted. It makes you want to be sick. It's a disgusting, wobbly thing on TV.
All right, so we finished with the Times and the Sunday Times. We don't
care
about
that's it.
We just don't care about it anymore.
No, all right, then go on then. We'll have to be a bit serious because that's what we're here for. As far as I'm concerned, like, I've been predicting this. Ladies and gentlemen, will you write into Mr. Derek Wiltshire here and say, I've been predicting... Well, I'm treating you with disdain. All right. You've never noticed it. So I've been doing this for months. Every time I treat you with disdain, I call you Derek.
Ah, right.
Yeah, because Derek's a dick. Sorry, that just slipped out.
I nearly bleeped
that
you again.
That makes it worse, doesn't it? If you say dick and then say, it just slipped out. That's even worse, isn't it?
Have you noticed, boys and girls, I've got me bleeped already now. It goes beep.
Have you bleeped me? Have you just bleeped me?
No, I was. Hang on, see if I can do it again. There you go. Nearly bleeped you, but didn't quite.
What was that film called?
I don't know. Don't care.
Got broomsticks.
So are we going to forget the Times because it's a waste of times?
No, it's a serious point.
Well, no one is going to be interested.
Now, let's...
Look, people here are internet-savvy people.
Yeah, of course they are.
Right. Therefore, they're going to go, do I want to pay £2 to read the Times? Now I'll get it on the BBC. Easy.
No, but you don't... No, right, that's it. I'm up. Right, there is something, right, that this is why I've been saying for the past month or 6 weeks that newspapers are going to take over... And this is the vanguard of our procession into the internet world. We are taking over the internet world. We've spent centuries honing our skills. Mm-hmm. We're not some spotty oik in an anorak with a flaccid sex life who thinks he can challenge the world by stringing some incoherent, badly spelt sentence together on a piece of paper which doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
I rest my case.
So what you're saying is the... entire concept of free access to news on the internet is going to be completely eroded by a couple of newspapers.
No, all newspapers are going to go in this direction. All newspapers are going to go on the internet, and they're all going to chat. But the difference is, some newspapers, like The Times, I don't know what it costs now, but it's over £1 to buy The Times.
Yeah.
Now you're going to get The Times for the equivalent of, 33p a day?
So if all the readers of The Times then go online, the paper's going to go out of business because they've lost all their revenue.
I think that's a tragedy. I think that is a tragedy. I think it's feasibly what will happen. I think what will happen logically is that the day-to-day news service will go onto the internet and will blast all these ridiculous, stupid, unauthoritative, unentertaining websites off the air and replace them with proper... strong, informative, authoritative, all these titatives coming in, shocking, revealing. And the main point is that, Eric, it will be legal.
Well, there is that to it. But you see, again, here's my next question.
Go on, then.
The internet has become an audio-visual system.
Yeah.
By definition, people don't necessarily read. They'll watch. I mean, look at Lady Gaga. A billion.
I'm looking at Lady Gaga.
I thought you might, especially the new video, telephone. We know all about that. Now, she has had 1 billion downloads.
It's the How first, many?
1 billion. 1 billion downloads.
Yeah, but she's a damn sight better looking than Rupert Murdoch.
Well, there is that to it. No, he's a nice guy. I actually quite like him.
He is nice, yeah.
He is actually. He's a very, very astute businessman, but he's a good
did
guy.
Did you used to drink Dandelion and Burdock?
No.
I loved it, honestly. But I can't get that anymore.
I did get allowed 15 minutes with him once.
Allowed? What, yeah. He was being noisy, was he? Yeah. He's impersonating a friend of ours, was he?
It's really funny, because I was talking to his colleague in the UK, and he said, I only get 15 minutes a year, and I'm his number two in England.
It'd be great to be a really important person.
Nah, it'd be boring. Everybody'd be after your money.
Oh, no, yeah. Well, no. Actually,
absolutely. Yeah. So we were divided on this. I just think that either people won't bother with the online services of the Times.
No, of course they will, Eric.
Or they will go for that on their iPads and their iPhones and everything else, so they can read it on the train going to work. Which in turn means that the Times and the Sunday Times will lose loads of money because people won't bother with the print anymore.
No, that actually was the point I was going to make before I got waylaid by Dandelion and Burdock. You're quite right. People are going to get it on their iPhones and on, you know, wherever they can access it. Much like they access us. What?
iPad. iPad is the new one.
What did I say?
You just said iPhone. iPad is the new one.
iPhone, UFO. whatever. Whatever you want to do it on. Anyway, so what will happen is the print version of all newspapers will upmarket itself or upmarket themselves into a sort of background magazine. You'll still have the punch of the news than the immediacy.
Yeah.
See, newspaper news isn't actually that immediate. That's why we work mainly in exclusives now, so it does have a sense of immediacy. But the background to news stories and in-depth reporting and political stories and looking into things across the world will then take over the print media. They'll become more like magazines, and you might not have daily newspapers or daily magazines, but they'll certainly carry on.
I'm sure they will. They won't go, Lee. I don't think that newspapers will go in many generations of lifetimes.
But they will improve the internet. We will improve the internet. It's not a difficult thing to do to improve the internet. You know, this really is a ridiculous... vitreous.
I'm just thinking of one publication in the UK which runs headlines like, I bit the head off an alien on the front page. That's improving. That's improving the internet. Yeah, right.
Of course it is. Because, look, that's the thing. That's the thing that I can't really understand. Uh-huh. It's the difference between you... listening to... Who's your favourite broadcaster? Because my mind's gone blank on broadcasters. Who was the one in America? Letter from America.
Alastair Cook.
That's it, Alastair Cook.
Well, I would say, alongside Alastair Cook...
Yeah.
I'm a bit spoilt, really, because I was very lucky to meet some greats of broadcasting, including Kenny Everett... who I think was great, but he wasn't that kind of broadcaster.
But there, no, can I just interrupt for a second?
Yeah.
Because there you've got Alistair Cook.
Yep, right? Brilliant guy.
A beautiful, modulated, intelligent, articulate, artistic.
Completely the opposite to us two, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And then you've got Kenny Everett, equally as talented, but in a different direction.
Well, I have to say, and he's going to be really... upset because he doesn't like glory or fame or anything else. He does a job. And one of the people I always wanted to work with many, many, many years ago, and he won't like me for saying that, and I did get the glory of working with him for about 3 years, I think it was, in total, is a guy called Steve Allen on LBC in LBC in London. LBC 97.3.
That means London's biggest conversation, doesn't it?
Very well done. And it was... I have to say, I remember listening to the playback of the first show I ever did with Steve, and I'm thinking, you sound like an anorak, you idiot. but the trouble was, I was in such awe of this guy who could hold the audience so beautifully.
Yeah.
And yet was totally irreverent at stuff. And he never stumbled over his words, which always annoyed me. And he was just...
How do people do that, honestly? It's impossible, isn't it?
It's with my teeth.
You've rattled your brain for 35 years.
Yeah.
How can you not possibly stumble over your words? That's part of you... charm, really,
anyway,
isn't it?
Let's get on a bit here, because we're running out of stuff already.
Can I just tell you something?
Go on, then.
Just before we go.
Yeah.
Sure, no, it's nothing to do with this. I'm bowing to your decision to not continue this thought pattern anymore.
Mm.
But one thing, like, you get through newspapers, as you know, is facility trips.
Right.
And I've just been invited to Kuala Lumpur.
Well, very nice, too. That's what travel journalists get lots of, isn't it? Free trips.
It doesn't exist.
Free trips. Anyway, yep. Moving along. This is
one. I was going to say it doesn't exist because it's a cross between a koala bear and an Oompa Loompa.
Hang on, we're going to have so much Oompa Loompas in this show. It's going to be unreal. This one, I have to say, is something very close to my heart. And I just want to say fabulous. And I don't normally say fabulous, but this one is for me. Very famous place known as Bletchley Park, which was the place in World War II where the code breaking took place. And yeah. It's been run down. It's fallen. Since British Telecom moved away from it, the whole place has just fallen into almost rack and ruin. It's terrible.
People still were there?
Yes, and they do rent...
They've got no roof.
Well, they have, because the places where we used to sleep when it was a university are now being let out as offices. So they are
like the corridors and the floor and the bed.
Now, can you imagine as a uni guy going to a place which was basically a World War II, like an RAF base, had billet huts and that, and that's where we used to sleep when we were going to the British Telecom thingy. And I just had so much fun at that place and learnt so much.
You are such an anorak. Oh, you used to slip in a billy hut. It was so much fun.
Well, it was. And I can remember my house mother was Christine.
Your house mother?
Yes, we had house mothers, you see, because we were under 18 at the time, and therefore we used to get addressed as Master. Not Mr., Master.
It's a good job your name won't bait.
Yeah, exactly.
Your house mother said, Master. Yeah,
can you? I used to get really annoyed about that. Oh, it used to annoy me. Can you imagine sort of the lecture going, Master Banks?
Right, yes.
And it used to annoy me. But Chris was the house mother to all of us under 18s, and we were all passionately in love with Christine, lots. And I better stop there. Anyway,
Why didn't you diddle?
No, I didn't. No. Give it half a chance, I would have done. But the good news is some £250,000 has been donated by the government for critical repairs of Bletchley Park to keep it going. There's also a huge charity thing going on there, and Simon Greenish, talking to him on the phone some time ago, and they are raising huge amounts of money to keep the code breaker from World War II open so people can go. And there's an enormous amount of people going there just visiting over the last few years. And I'm really pleased that the Culture Secretary has woken up to the fact it's cultural heritage.
You know what I was going to say?
What?
I assumed you wouldn't mention it was the culture department who were looking after it, because to your point of view, culture is useless.
No, well, I'm not. That's modern thingy doing something, and if it wasn't for that, tell you what, we wouldn't be having this conversation now.
What, because if it wasn't for Bletchley Park?
Possibly, yes, because just think of what it did.
Yeah, but it's the difference between a possibly and we won't.
Well, there is that to it. But anyway, I'm really pleased for Bletchley Park. Well done, guys.
I'm very pleased for Bletchley Park, too.
Right. Sorry, America.
What?
Sorry.
Oh, we're doing
Simon
the other bit of
Cowell
culture.
Yeah. Yeah, right, that's culture. Is to be honoured, apparently, with an Emmy. The International Emmy Award in recognition for his television work.
Well,
organisers have said in the US of A.
Absolutely, I can't
apparently
believe it.
Previous winners were Oprah Winfrey and Sir David Frost. Now, please tell me what the hell Sir David Frost and Simon Cowell have got in common.
Well, they're both men.
Well, there's that to it. And?
Yeah. There you have it. You just each item this week, I promise you, will prove my case because the reason Simon Cowell got this award, Emmy award, I can't believe it, is because he is one of the orchestrators of the dumbing down of this world.
Right.
Okay. I'd say anything else. You can carry on.
But it's fine. It's fine. I've apologised to America. That's all I wanted to do. And we'll leave it at that, I think.
I would just like to watch something else for America because I know Americans will understand this. Culture, ladies and gentlemen, is that invisible bond which ties the people of a community together.
True.
Yeah. And art and literature and language and religion are what the community is about.
Mm.
And if somebody like Simon Cowell...
Yes, we'll be coming to religion in a minute, actually, probably in part two. Yes, we will. Anyway, real horrendous sort of stuff this week. YouTube died.
I know!
The internet went ballistic. And what was even more funny, and I can't believe this actually happened, there were people on the internet, bearing in mind, they get YouTube for free. They upload it, they can watch it, they can do what the heck they like, and they get it all for free. There was a guy on the forum ranting about how despicable it was that YouTube couldn't keep their service going. They've got terrible service, they're rubbish, they're this. Get a life, man. You're getting it all for nothing.
It doesn't mean just get you get it for... See, there you have the dumbing down of the world again. It's a war out in cyberspace. There is a war taking place out in cyberspace.
Yeah, right.
And you can make no bones about it. Somebody's going to get killed. If they can blow up YouTube, then they can blow up the systems and air traffic control.
See, what happened?
Cut me off?
No.
You said I'm cutting him off.
No, I did not. I'll say it. Just a minute. So it does, but it does make you wonder.
You little cutter.
Stop it. Now I reckon there'd be a mass outcry, and the outcry is similar to like if your telly's turned off. You know, I can remember as a little lad when we couldn't watch television after 10 o'clock at night because there was no electricity around. So the television went off at at 10 o'clock at night. We all listened to the radio, so it was no problem.
Why didn't you get your dad to put another shilling in the meter?
Because the government at the time turned the telly off at 10 o'clock, the 3-day week, dear boy.
What? 70s. Oh, I remember the 3-day week. I was about three.
Yeah, right. That's three in deci years. But
deci years? What's deci years?
Well, deci 10. So you'd be at least 30 at that point, thank you.
Do you know what, actually? We should mark this occasion. It's Elton John's 63rd birthday.
Done it. Anyways.
And that's 165 in gay years.
Yeah, right. So I reckon, hang on, that, like when the telly goes off, there's a mass outcry, right? There was an enormous outcry yesterday when YouTube went off. But it makes me wonder, if the Sun wasn't printed for a day, how many people in the world would actually care?
Well, it's not a world newspaper, is it? It's a British newspaper. Quite a few. There'd be like 3.5 million.
He's backtracking now, boys and girls.
No, it doesn't sell across the world. Well, you can buy it in airports and things like that. It's basic sales patch is Britain, and people would be devastated.
I love what they do with it in the Middle East. I love it. I absolutely love it. You go to one of the better hotels in the Middle East, and the Sun has got black marks all over it. Covering up the bits. Think about it, boys and girls. The other interesting thing this week was the gathering, or very small gathering, outside Google's head office, because Google owns YouTube. There was a big conspiracy theory about China hitting YouTube, which I don't buy into whatsoever.
Wasn't it China? I thought it was China. I believed what was on the internet.
But that's because you're not media trained like the rest of us. But it's really funny because I was talking to somebody this morning about this, and they were going, yeah, but nobody in China actually cares, and they've got their own service called Baidu, which is an internet search engine. And I said, hang on a minute. Just imagine you're on the telly and you're going to talk to the BBC or something like that, or CNN or whatever. You're hardly going to stand in the middle of China where they still execute people in vans and say, I think the Chinese government are really bad. You're not going to say that, are you?
Well, no. People do. Some of the bravest political acts ever have taken place in China.
But it's minimal in terms of... I mean, you're sitting there now, you're 28 years old, you've got a little child, got married...
I do not have a little child, not at my age, I'm only 28.
You have your nice little flat, a man from television company comes along, sticks a microphone up by your nose and says, don't you think what Google is suffering in Beijing is a bad thing? And he goes... Let me just think about this a minute. In China, I'm married, got a little kid, family to support. I'm just going to be horrible to the Chinese government. Get a life! It's not going to happen, is it? Yeah. But it's quite funny how I'll look at some of the other stuff, and the Chinese just don't seem to care, and that makes me wonder, has the Googleization of so many parts of the world just got a little bit too big?
Well, I can see your point, but I think it's more, it's simpler than that. What you've actually got is a society, a closed society, where really it's like living in parts of America where you never fly to another part of America because that's like flying to another part of the world. You've got a whole state which is like a whole world to you. Yeah. And in China, the world is China. Yeah. And so we're not insular. We're an expansionist nation. The British are an expansionist nation, much like Poland. And
what's that got to do with me? I mean, Slovakia, for goodness sake.
It was an aside. It was a political aside.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right.
And we're an expansionist nation. So we look at all sorts of things. China is inward looking, so their choice of their internet, they have their own search engines, they have their own kind of internet. And people are not really that bothered about losing certain sort of westernized paraphernalia.
Right.
Did you realise I'd run out of a word then?
You were stumbling over that one well and truly, weren't you, mate?
I just stuck paraphernalia in because I thought it would bamboozle you.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I loved Google when it started off in the garage with a couple of guys. I'm just wondering now, and I was, again, something I said to somebody else yesterday, we were discussing this. I said, look, I will always be English. You can take the man out of England, but you can't take England out of the man. It's a fact of life. When I come to Slovakia, what do I do? Excuse me, Slovak government, I've now moved in. Give me a Church of England church, please. I don't want to have a Catholic church to go to. Mm. That is ridiculous. And the local laws are what they are. I mean, when I first came to Slovakia, we could do, 60 kilometres an hour, which is about sort of 34, 35 miles an hour, roughly. Yeah. Which is faster than I was used to driving in a town. And I would automatically, because, 50 kilometres is 30 miles an hour, it's in my head, I would automatically drive around slower than most people. But that's just life.
That's because you're a big girl.
No, I can't expect people to sort of go, let's change the speed limit for it. As it goes, they have brought the speed limit down now, and I think that's a good thing. But the fact is, I drive here on the opposite side of the road to those in England. I can't expect them to change it. So why should Google expect the Chinese government to change its ways just because of Google? It's local law that applies.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Huh. Hey?
I know we do agree a lot now. But I do agree with you. Why should the Chinese change their way? Funnily enough, I was walking through Eccleshaw.
Very quickly, 15 seconds.
Just down the road from me. And it was everybody I bumped into was a Slovakian. Now, that we expect them to adopt English ways, but we don't expect to adopt Slovakian ways when we go to Slovakia.
No, I know what you mean. Anyway, that's the end of part one, boys and girls, a postcard from Poprad this week with Lee over there in the, the excluded part of Europe, and me over in the middle of Europe, i.e. the centre of Europe, namely Slovakia. Don't go away, boys and girls. We'll be right back. Have a quick cup of tea if you can make it in under a few seconds, which I bet you can't. This is Postcard from Poprad.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.